nobodies are somebodies.
Hey everybody, it's Chad Weiss and I'm back, Daddy. That's right, we got a brand new episode of the Nobodies Are Somebodies podcast. I think the last one I produced was back in November of 2021. I released one actually in the new year with my conversation with Mike Gray, guitarist of Jagged Edge, Skin, Red, White, and Blues. I did a musician interview, but the last Nobodies Are Somebodies podcast, I do believe, was released in November, so we're back here, and I'm very honored and privileged to bring you this guest, Leah Lubin, born in Israel, moving to the United Kingdom, spending a lot of her childhood there, and then in her adult life into the United States, into California, where she's spent most of her adult life, and she spent a lot of time in radio, college radio, specifically in San Jose, California area, with KOME, K-O-M-E, as well as KFJC 89.7 FM as well, two very legendary stations that we talk about here on the episode. And you can check out the pages for those radio stations as well too, and get some information on their history and the station themselves and the personalities that appear on there. So without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Leah Lubin here on the Nobodies Are Somebodies podcast with me, Chad Weiss.
I'm back!
Very glad to do this podcast with you, Chad.
Oh, well, thank you so much, too. I'm glad that you reached out to me and found, I think it was a while ago. I think it was Paradise City, one of the posts. I think you found me there, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you. I think that Facebook has a lot to do with it. And one day, you know, we might bring them on board and they might get all excited about us. I don't see why not. Yes, it started on Facebook. Agree, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I'm glad it was random, so I'm glad you found me there.
Well, and then there's another higher force that says, nothing's random, you know, especially in the radio business. Everything that's supposed to happen happens.
I'm always fascinated about radio business, obviously listening since I was a kid. I've always been fascinated how it works. I'm sorry I never got into it like as a profession when I started college and whatever. I chose a different path, but radio has always been a big part of my life, and I'm always fascinated by it and fascinated by people who've been in it and worked in it.
Well, I'm going to give you a compliment right away, Chad. You've got a good radio voice.
I have a face for radio, I know, I've been told.
No, I didn't say it. Well, that might be true, too, but it's your voice first I gave the compliment to.
Right, of course.
I said you've got a good radio voice, and that's a big deal, because what is radio, okay? It's before there were phones, okay? And it was a way to hear somebody, listen to them, and still do your own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's not like TV, you got to like sit in front of it, right?
Yeah.
But when you're on the radio, it is an experience.
But if you have somebody that can kind of capture your attention as well too on the radio, like a DJ or someone doing the program, and you can really stop and, wow, I want to hear what this person has to say.
That's what I base my whole work on, exactly what you just said. Because I think every show, talk show, is a show.
Yeah.
And if it's not a show, it's boring. And boring to me is like the worst thing on earth, you know. It can't get worse than boring. So my whole thing is always be interesting and try and talk about things that I believe interest people, you know. And I'm talking about the rock and roll community, because there's all kinds of communities out there on the radio that might not tune into me, like the sports community, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I can reach, and I have reached out to the variety of the music communities that are out there, you know, from reggae to rock to, you know, all of it. Go on, Chad, say a few styles.
Like country, like R&B, like hip-hop, or
yes,
like bluegrass, polka. You can go anywhere, especially in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. That was more of a thing.
Right.
Obviously, different times, but yeah. No, I hear you.
You want to hear how my first rock experience?
Yeah, that was a good segue into that, because I kind of wanted to start by asking you it was perfect. I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned all these genres, was rock always like a predominant thing in your life? And that's when you got into radio, was obviously a rock radio station, that was the format, that's what drove you, attracted
totally.
You
and it goes back to London, okay? And my life is a little complicated, and I'll try and be short about it, okay? I was born in Israel, and my dad became a chemical engineer in Israel, but there wasn't actually work for him, and he got hired in England, okay? And he moved me at the age of six to England. And he started developing factories that made food for animals that were from natural ingredients like peel and oats and stuff like that. So as we became more and more solidly involved with that, we moved to London, and the London feeling was very, very strong, and the English feeling was very strong in our lives. And then something happened that changed everything in England. Do you know what it was?
Just for clarity, what year? I guess this is the 70s we're talking about?
I would say the 60s.
Okay, the 60s. Wow, okay. Then you got to tell me, because I'm not sure. Other than the Beatles.
Okay.
Other than the Beatles, yes. And the great British rock.
Say that again. Say that again, Chad. Say it really loudly. 1, 2, 3. It was
the Beatles.
Yeah. Thank you.
Amazing.
And what happened was they came on the scene and they literally changed everything.
Yeah.
There we were, all straight British people, right? Right? And all of a sudden, people like John appeared to us, and Paul, and George, and Ringo, and they opened doors that we didn't even know were possible. Okay,
yep.
And it was absolutely phenomenal. But it was very interesting because at the same time that the Beatles just reached our hearts and opened everything, okay, they were still kept very formal. Their hair was kept very formal. Their look was kept very formal, just to make them acceptable to the British community. And then something else happened that changed everything. Do you know what that was, Chad?
Tell me.
Who came next? You tell me. 1, 2, 3. It was the Stones.
Oh, the Stones, yeah. I was going to go with the Who, yeah. The Stones,
you know,
yeah. The Stones came after, yeah, yeah, for sure. Right after behind them.
Right.
Yeah.
And what the Stones did, thank you, Mick Jagger, what the Stones did was they broke all the rules that the Beatles were allowed to break.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But there was one more band that came after the Stones, and I think you just said their name, that just changed the whole world, okay?
Yes.
And that was the...
Who?
Who?
Who's on next?
And there I was in high school, okay? Let's get this word, what was going on. There I was in high school on television, and we were watching The Who break guitars on stage, okay? And we couldn't believe it. We could not bloody well believe it. What the heck? Is that possible? And they did it, and it was. And so I realized, even though I hadn't turned 17 yet, that I had to go watch them do it in real life, all right? So I save up my pocket money, okay? And I go down, I think it was the Marquee, and we all went down to the Marquee holding our little ticket money, okay, to get in to watch The Who, okay, break guitars on stage, and they sold all the tickets out, all right?
Yeah.
And I was like just about crying and thinking I have to go home. And then I see this stage door that says press only. Okay. And I walk up to that door, and this is how I get into radio. I go up to them and I say, look, I'm going to write an article about this for my high school, newspaper. Will you let me in to watch so I can write it? And they looked at each other, and guess what, Chad?
They let you in.
They let me in.
Nice.
But of course, I didn't have a seat, so I stood like 10 feet away from the stage and watched The Who do that, okay?
Wow.
And that did change my life, all right? It really did. But I went on, and I went to art school in London, and at one point I ended up in America in 1979, okay, married to an American, all right?
Hmm.
And going into America in the Bay Area, one of the things that did stand out was that the British accent gets you a little bit of attention, all right?
Yeah.
And so I do like to talk. I am an original talker, though my actual work is in art and literature. But I am a good talker. And what happened was I lived near a quite well-known, KFJC is really quite well-known radio station here in the Bay Area. If you look up their history a little bit, they've been on the air for like 35 years,
yeah.
Like, if not more.
That's
okay.
a college radio station, is that correct?
That's right.
Yep.
But it's broken all the rules, Chad, all right? To take 5 minutes and look them up, and you'll see they got all the crazy genres, okay, and all the every type of music, including the stuff that you would like, Chad, because I know you're an extremist, right?
I like a lot, yeah.
Yeah, you do. So you would actually get on very well with the music repertoire of that station. But here I am in America, and it's 1981, and I decide to apply there to do a radio show, a punk British new wave show, and they gave me an hour slot, and it was called the Leigh Angel Show, okay? And it's 1981, and things are very different in the world, in the music world, right, Chad? And all of a sudden, ska and reggae were getting a lot of press, all right? And there was this band called The Specials from England.
Yes.
Okay? And they had a gig at Stanford University, which is like half an hour from KFJC, all right? And for some reason, we were forever getting free tickets. We were. And for some reason, we got free tickets for this. And I got one of the tickets because of my... They're British, I'm British, all right? And so we go to the concert at Stanford. And at the end of the concert, I get my courage up the way I got in to see The Who. And I somehow get to speak to The Specials, okay? And I say, look, I'm at this radio station. They're amazing, and they want to talk to you, okay? Mm-hmm. And guess what, Chad?
You talk to them.
They came to the station, got interviewed on the air.
Wow, perfect.
And that's how I opened the door to talk radio, because I went from punk new wave, which was great, but I really can't do it probably as well as you could, all right? Because it's, you know, when you're a music DJ, it's very different than a talk DJ.
Yes, yes, definitely. But then again, and this may not be true for you, and it's definitely not true for me, but I didn't go to college for it. I didn't take any courses. I just basically take what I heard and made it my own, so to speak. And
that's what we do.
That's a short way. You didn't go to college. You didn't study radio broadcasting.
I got a broadcaster's license at KFJC, but I went spontaneously on the air doing talk like I'm doing it with you on the different subjects that we covered. And I became their public affairs director. Okay.
So you just walked in and had this job?
No, it took a year and a half to get the broadcast. I did 3 years of work for them.
Okay.
So I took a year and a half to get to the point where I could get the broadcaster's license, got the broadcaster's license, got their title, public affairs director. But while I was at KFJC, there was in San Jose, okay, an extremely famous rock radio station called KOME, which just got inaugurated in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago. That's just very, very famous. If you just spent a few minutes. And what was going on at the time was that there was, for radio stations to have a license, there was something called the FCC, okay?
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Okay.
And there was a rule. Every rock radio station had to do 10 hours of public affairs per week.
Yes, you're right.
Or was it per month?
Yeah, I don't remember, but yeah, I know
where
you're... Yeah, exactly, yeah. I remember that.
All right, so that's where I got my... So there was this show on KOME that was on the air for 12 years, okay? It was called The Expressway Show. It was on Sunday nights, midnight to 2 a.m., and it was a talk show that had really remarkable guests on it, because the station was a $2 million radio station that belonged to Infinity Broadcasting. It was absolutely amazing, okay? So there was this show that was on the air for 12 years, hosted by a variety of, actually it was all men to that point. And for some reason, which I don't remember, the host had to leave, all right? And the show became available. And it went underground as an available show. And I and some other major radio station people competed for it. It was like four of us, all right? And KOME, thank you, God, KOME gave me the Expressway Show.
Oh, wow.
Which was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't tell you what it was like to walk into a $2 million radio station, have your own desk, and be that important, okay? So that I got to actually do some really major things for them. But before I talk about what I did, can I just tell you how it all ended?
Yeah, well, I want to kind of dig in, because if I looked at your website, if I have the dates right, it's you started at KFJC in 81 till 85, and then it was Comey from 85 to 87.
85 to 87,
yeah.
Right.
This is what happened. Just before you get there, I just want to ask you, do you know or do you remember what the reach was of those stations, how far wide you were received?
Very good question, and I'd love to give you an answer. All I can tell you, and this is going to impress you, I had 20,000 listeners according to the FCC every Sunday night.
That's
so
amazing.
Over the Bay Area, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, all over San Francisco, everywhere in the Bay Area. It could be more. So here's my little ending, and then I do. So the ending goes like this. I'm on the air every single week, okay, for 11 and a half months. I'm like having the best time of my life.
This is at Comey?
Unbelievable. Say that again, dear.
This is at Comey?
Back at KOME, I'm okay. on the air for yeah. 11 and a half months, okay, every Sunday night, midnight to 2 a.m. Okay. And I take over a show that's been on the air for 12 years, so it's got an incredible reputation, all right? And then all of a sudden something happens 11 and a half months into the time of my life. The FCC changes the rules. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
They take away the rule that says you've got to do public affairs to maintain your license.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So what happens next is the following. KOME call me in. They say, this is what's going on. We no longer have to do this show at Sunday nights at midnight to 2 a.m., which is a very valuable time slot in terms of commercial broadcasts, you know, how much they charge. It's a commercial radio station, you know. There were commercials, all right? So the commercials that were on the air at that time, okay, made so much money for them. But they believed that if they switched the talk show to a music show, they could charge even more for the commercials.
For advertising
and
revenue,
and they were going to take this show that's been on the air for 13 years at midnight to 2 a.m. Sunday nights, and you know every rocker's still up at midnight to 2 a.m. Sunday nights, right?
Yep, yep.
So they were going to throw it at like a Monday morning 5 a.m. time slot.
Oh, okay? That's a death, that's a death blow.
And my heart is like breaking.
It's a death blow for
all,
a show like that.
I know no rockers are going to listen.
Yeah. They're passing out at that time. That's when that's bedtime.
No one's coming in. No one is
no
coming
one's,
in for an interview.
Yeah. Nope.
And I can't face doing it. And I go, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't. Okay.
Yeah,
and it was like the hardest thing I ever had to do. All right. But that's what they did. KOME did on some ridiculous 5 a.m. time slot. And it lasted 8 weeks.
So you did do it for a little while to try it out, and
I
obviously
I did not do it at all. I couldn't do it.
Oh, you didn't do it? Okay. So they put someone else in that spot for 8 weeks, and they tanked it.
Yeah,
okay. I got you.
They gave it to somebody else, and it lasted 8 weeks, and it's dead.
They first offered it to you, and then you said no, and then they offered it to someone else.
Yeah, because I knew what would happen. Because
right.
I knew that no one would listen, A. B, no one on the high level would come in for an interview.
Yeah, agreed.
So, and I couldn't face it, and exactly what I was completely right. And you know what? And the sad thing is that I have to understand their point of view, because as a commercial radio station, they actually went under because of money reasons.
Wow.
So let's say that 2 years later, okay, I'm no longer on the air, and it's 2 years later, the station shuts down. And it's money reasons.
Yep.
So I can't even say, hey, you're being unreasonable, because they're trying to like pay their bills or whatever it is that costs to run a $2 million radio station. So it's never, San Jose's never quite recovered. There's, of course, there's other radio stations, okay? But people still talk about it, and it's still got a website, and it's still, it just got inaugurated in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow. Yeah, I remember you mentioned that too. I'm kind of surprised to hear that, especially the fact that it's been defunct for over almost going on 40 years. I'm surprised
you can't imagine people are still showing the decal flag. It gets tons of publicity.
Yeah,
people miss it. That's,
yeah, it's an, it was an institution for people in that area, for the Bay Area.
So
clearly.
You know, we need to open another radio station, Chad. You know that, don't you?
Yeah,
we need to put the Expressway Show back on the air.
Yeah, for sure,
Chad.
Well, well, I definitely reach all over the world for sure. I mean, internet. You can speak to this very well, as a fact that you started in, like, you looked at your start of your career in radio, and you look at what's available now. The options for people like me or somebody else can just literally sit at home, turn on the computer. I'm a radio broadcaster, and that's good, and that's also bad depending on who's doing it. But that kind of change must, I don't want to say blow your mind, but I'd love to hear your feedback on what that looks like to you now, seeing all the things that have changed.
Yes. And this is how I believe it. I believe it's an art form, okay, talk radio. And I'm still speaking to the music people, okay, you and I. Let's just stay with them, all right? I think they need us.
Yeah.
So what needs to happen, like anything else, the right doors need to open, and we need to be available. We are available. I'm talking about you and me. I don't know about anyone else. Okay. We are available.
If you're out there listening and you're available.
Yeah. But it needs to happen in the proper way. Like, I don't really want to go back to college radio. I want to go back to another professional radio station that wants what I can do. Well, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I mean, this podcast could open that door, Chad.
Hey, that's also, yeah, you never know. Yeah, never say, you never know who's going to hear what. That's for sure. I can definitely attest to that.
So do you know who the Grateful Dead are, Chad?
Yes, I do. I'd be lying if I said I was a fan of Jerry Garcia, except for that one song, Touch of Grey. But other than that, I'm not a huge, but I respect their legacy for sure.
Okay, that's wonderful. So, you know, have you ever heard of the Mountain View Shoreline Theater?
No, I can't say I have.
Okay. So it was, yeah, the Shoreline is an outdoor theater that they performed at, and it had an issue with when I was on the air at KOME with fires for some reason that just like lit up from the garden area, and I got to help by telling the everybody to calm down about it, because they tell everybody that the Dead was working on the issue. So that was something I like. That was a kind of an example of that kind of power when you do have a talk show and it is respected in the rock community or whatever's going on, you know. Mm-hmm. It can be used properly, and I would have like a lawyer, and people would call in with their law issues, like, oh, I just got stopped by a cop, you know, so, that kind of stuff. Sometimes I'd have a policeman on answering issues.
So it was a variety kind of talk show with different guests, kind of like what I'm doing now. Basically everybody and anybody comes on and talks about their life and such. It's kind of like that.
No, it was more like issues. Issues that I believe the rock community wanted to hear about.
Okay.
And guests.
And musical guests.
Yeah.
Did you play music within that show, or is it just strictly talk?
No, it was just talk and then call-ins.
Okay, well, very cool.
You want to hear another story?
For sure. I want to hear all the stories you want to give me, but I also want to know where you went after that, too, how your career went on, too, but I definitely want to hear more stories.
I'll answer that question right now. KOME shuts down. No other major radio stations hire me, but I do a few fill-ins for KFJC, and I'm still kind of known as faculty there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's not what I want.
You did some guest spots, I believe, too. If I look at your website, 2013, right, 2010, you've been there for the 60th anniversary too show as well.
Right.
Crazy.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you can actually hear me if you go on my website and can hear how I sound.
Yes, there's links.
The radio.
Yes, I'll have to check that out for sure.
Yeah. Do because you might really enjoy it.
I did listen to a video that was, I guess, published or recorded maybe, or some kind of conversation with you, a short one from 2009 where you talked about, it was a very short video, but you kind of talked about some
Ken
of your
Keefe.
Career. Yeah, I think that was it.
Should we do him? Let's do him in a minute. There was something, I'm beginning to forget it. There was something I still wanted to, I did want to tell you one last KOME story that I think you, Chad, would enjoy.
For sure.
All right, here we go. So, do you know about something called a 7-second delay, sometimes
yes.
a 10-second delay.
Yeah.
So you understand what I mean? I don't even know if they exist anymore, but in the
old
days,
they do. Yeah.
So I just want to tell everyone who's listening to this podcast.
This one doesn't have it. This one never has it, so don't worry about that. Yeah.
So, in the old days, maintaining your radio license was very important to the radio station.
No,
so one of the things they couldn't do is have the bad words,
the filthy
words
seven,
on the air and stuff like that, because that could actually get them revoked.
License revoked,
lose their license.
Yep, 100%.
So they have this thing called a 7-second delay.
Still access
and
today.
And for some reason, on my talk show, I was actually new on the air, been on the air like 2 or 3 months, all of a sudden, they had a problem with their 7-second delay, and it happened around the time of my show, and my show was a call-in show. Okay,
right.
So you could actually dial in, and they were totally paranoid, freaked out, because if they stopped the show, they didn't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
So they just let it happen, and then this is what happened. Instead
of
my listeners calling in and swearing, guess what they said? Because I know you're not going to, but I'm going to say it for you anyway. They said Aussie.
They said the F word.
Aussie.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Like, all right,
go
I'm
crazy
really
train.
I was so impressed with Aussie. Like, we were all impressed with Aussie in England. Yeah. Okay, but he did go very far. He did go very far. And if Ozzy's listening to this podcast, Ozzy, love you, right?
I wish.
Say something, Chad. Say something, Chad, to Ozzy. He might be listening.
Thanks for listening to Nobody's or Somebody's podcast, Ozzy. Crazy train!
right. And there you were, Ozzy, and your name was shouted out instead of a swear word. That's really important. That makes you really important on planet Earth.
Yeah, so, for sure. And he was just starting out at that point, too. He was just really getting off the ground in the 80s, for sure, after the big downfall. Right. The thing they do differently now, I just want to kind of say about the seven-second delay, what some people will do, what a lot of stations will do now, is when they, especially when they have people calling in to either answer a question or to win a prize or whatever, they'll pre-record that and then play it later. So if there was a word drop that they didn't want to have, it would just be bleeped out. So they don't even have them call in, quote-unquote, live. Though what they'll do, a lot of stations now will can those and just edit them later.
You see, I understand what you're saying, and there's nothing quite like getting a live phone call, and there's nothing quite like doing live radio.
But they don't want to take that chance, especially in this world in 2022. There's no way they're going to let someone come on the air.
Very good point.
Not going to let anybody come on the radio.
It's very interesting.
Could be political, could be religious, they could say anything. They don't want to take a chance.
I know, and what's really interesting is actually how far we've gone with craziness.
Yeah.
Since the 60s, all right? Let's just be... Okay, so the Who did what they did, but the people in the general public were behaving themselves. So I would say that the general public right now is in a difficult mode because with what's going on with language,
mm-hmm.
it crosses over all levels. But at the same time, do I really care? I don't know if I do. What do you feel about it?
I guess it depends on individual feelings about it. It depends, like if you're talking about what people find offensive these days, it depends on how you grew up. The people that growing up that are adults today grew up as kids in the 90s, I want to say, and they suddenly realize that they have an opportunity that their voice can be heard. Doesn't matter, they have the internet to kind of be a platform. That's a good and bad thing, so people think they can just they've been conditioned that what they say matters. That's the best way I can put it. Anybody can say anything, and anyone has a platform thanks to social media, thanks to the internet.
Absolutely.
It's great, and it's terrible. That's my opinion.
You know what? It's very funny, because that's exactly how I feel about it, too, you know?
And you've seen more. You've seen a lot of it, and you've seen the change, for sure.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, where is it going to go to next?
I can't imagine.
Well, you know, it's an interesting situation, because I actually haven't thought about it for a while, but you know, this current situation that we're finally getting ourselves out of, I hope you know what I'm talking about with that. Let's just say the C word, all right? I think it might change things, possibly calm things down and people behaving slightly better. What do you think?
It remains to be seen. It depends on, again, regions, countries. It depends on a lot of different factors that it's really hard to pinpoint.
Right.
Yeah,
and all we can do, you and I, is observe.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't pretend the madness unfold. So we can change it. We can't change it.
Yeah. Just live your life the best way that you can, that's best for you and your family, and just take care of yourself and take care of the people around you. And I hope and I have to believe everything takes care of itself at that point. And we're only here for a little while anyway. Or a good time, not a long time. Whatever cliche you want to throw. Rock and roll cliche.
I know. So, Chad, what are your goals for radio, for you?
Well, not to make this all about me either, because we're talking all about you, but for me, the podcast is just a way to get other people's, you know, message out there, because that's why I started the podcast. It's the fact that people who you don't hear from, people aren't celebrities, people that don't have a big public name, they have wonderful stories that people wouldn't hear unless it's put in front of them and put in front of their faces. And that's kind of the goal for the podcast. Radio is to turn them on to music that got moved under the cracks, that got lack of promotion, for many different reasons. But that's a whole other conversation, too. Just to give people a reintroduction to things they may have missed, or to people coming up in the world today and go back later. Maybe one day this podcast will be like a classic thing and they can go back and look. Back in the 2010s, 20s, that old podcast. You know,
so I'm gonna, I want to be vintage,
modern vintage.
I'm gonna throw back to you what I think I heard you say. All right,
perfect.
Tell me if I'm right, because that's how other people who are hearing you say this. Okay, so your podcast is a unique connecting vehicle. okay? And you are bringing out people's stories into the world. And that's beautiful, okay? And you certainly couldn't do that on high-end radio. You know that, right?
No.
Because if you're on high-end radio, your guests have to be high-end. That's how they pay the bills,
yep.
Okay?
Well, it's advertising money. It's a business. It's a business.
That's it. So neither of us are at that point working like that, correct?
Correct. Well, for me, I can definitely say yes.
And neither am I right now. Okay. Of course, that could change next week.
That's the goal.
For both
by the
of
sounds
us,
of
right?
it. Yeah, by the sounds of it, yeah.
Okay, so if you are offered... If a radio station somewhere, I'm not saying where, I have no idea, called you up, Chad, and said, Chad, you know what? We like you. We're going to give you a talk show. Would you take it?
I mean, on the surface, that sounds like an easy yes, but there has to be, and I'm not trying to big time anything, but
no.
I'm just going to put it like this real quick, and then we can go into it later, but
truth.
I require autonomy when it comes to choosing what I put out there music-wise. I want to be able to control it 100%.
Now, listen here.
And
now,
that's not attractive
here,
to a lot of stations, especially not big ones.
Guess what, Chad? Everybody on a high level feels exactly the same way.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with what you just said. Do you understand?
No, but they won't.
You don't even need to bring it up.
Yeah.
I mean, if they take you on board, they want you to be original, okay?
I would hope so.
Interesting. And creative, so you don't have to tell them, excuse me, I'm going to be original, creative, and you know, and different, because that's why they're taking you. So if they took you for that purpose, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, if I was able to pick a playlist and be able to choose a playlist 100% me and make it about, you know, I'm going to put people over, I'm going to make, you know, pay the bills.
Chad, you're going to be able to pick the playlist.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't.
That's what
I
have to say.
Ever,
yeah.
Ever again.
Well,
if you've got a radio station calling you up and giving you your own show, they're going to expect you to come up with a playlist.
That's what I would hope. It's not what I've seen, but that's what I would hope. We'll put it like that.
So, they need us.
Maybe. So let me ask you this then, because there's a big period, of course, obviously the late 80s, you were kind of off radio in San Francisco. You've been in San Francisco the whole time you've been in America, correct?
No, I'm in Woodside. I'm in Woodside. Think Palo Alto, Stanford University, but the mountain area above it. I'm in Woodside skyline.
Okay, but basically you've been in California since you've been in America then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, I did spend a year and a half in Portland, Oregon.
Okay, wow, very different. Big change.
Yeah, and you know, I'm trying to find my home base. It's very complicated that you, the way you're bringing it up, I can't help but respond to it. Okay, there's a part of me that still belongs in London. I'm British American. I have dual citizenship.
Right.
Which is complicated, but acceptable. Okay, so there is a lot of artwork and poetry and a book and a five-act ballet that's all waiting to hit the big time in my career titles, but it still might happen. I mean, for me personally, I went to art school in London. I have a lot of work. They might say, Leia, come back. They haven't yet. I try to go back on holiday, and it's like I cry the whole time because I want them to say, come back later, you know, and they haven't said that yet, but that doesn't mean they're not going to. Does that make sense
right.
to you, what I just said?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So it's complicated. I don't really, really, really know where I belong, okay? It is complicated.
Well,
in terms of America, the Bay Area California does seem to work the best for me.
Yeah, it seems like that's for the majority of the time you've been in America, that's where you've been.
Absolutely.
If I'm right, yeah. So let me ask you then,
sure.
Because obviously we can talk about your poetry and artwork as well too. That's something that's been a part of your career. But as far as radio goes, what has happened or what have you, I guess, maybe
right.
tried to do since the late 80s up
right.
until,
right.
well, 2010?
Well, it was a shock when KOMI and the FCC changed the rules, and I'm a talk show host, do you understand? Which means that whoever was doing talk on the radio while I was doing it, okay, I'm talking rock radio, already had their job, okay? Nobody's job was being made available, okay? And no radio station was creating new talk shows because the FCC had pulled that rule, okay?
Right.
So I knew that I wasn't going to get a professional radio show, so... That doesn't mean I'm not. What I'm hoping for is to become popular enough again that they want me on the air, and then they'll give me a show, because that's what it actually takes.
Right.
Seriously. It needs, you can't like call up a radio station and say, can you give me a show? Because it's not going to happen. It's going to have to go the other way around.
Oh, I've tried.
They call me up and say, you say, Leo, we've got a show for you. I'll say, oh, bloody hell, I'm our place, you know. Give me the show. I'm going to get you your audience.
But are you,
I can do that. But
are you putting yourself out there, and especially with the events of the internet, to get?
I'm not, because, see, it takes something more magical than just put it. Yeah, you know what? I'm putting myself out there on your podcast.
Right. But, I mean, as far as other platforms and other opportunities.
And I get a podcast and Facebook, I've told. And, you know, KFJC, you know. But I haven't applied for a talk show at whatever stations are left that are professional, that are radio stations, that are music stations. I haven't, because I know that they would have to create one for me, okay? And I'm literally currently not famous enough, all right? That doesn't mean that ain't going to change at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's for sure. So what have you done to keep yourself occupied, at least from a professional standpoint, in all the years since?
Right. So I've written, since 1975, I've written 8 poetry books, okay? So I actually perform poetry for many years in Palo Alto and this place called San Gregorio. I perform my poetry at least once a month. Even during the last 2 years, we've been performing poetry outside, okay?
Oh, wow.
So I've been doing that. I've had some major art shows. I haven't had the kind of art show I want to do next be made available for me, because people haven't been going, okay? So it's similar but different kind of issues than radio with the art world.
Is that because of the pandemic, or is this before?
Yeah, and the pandemic for sure. And also what interests me relates to the Science Institute business. So I paint the cosmos. I had something that very few artists can tell you they've had. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Chad, I've had an art show at NASA.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
Played again. Oh, wow. I know.
Oh, wow.
It happened in 1994. I know. Happened in 1994. And I also had an 11 and a half month show at this place called Slack, which is their physics building, called the Kavli building, which belongs to Stanford. That's pretty good. And I had my artwork up for 11 and a half months there. So if you do go on my website, which is leolubin.com, then you can see photographs of the NASA show and of the Slack show. And those are like my two shows. And I'm ready, Chad. I have some really good cosmos paintings. I'm ready to do another show. And that's actually what I desire to do. Even though I've done other subjects like figurative or landscape or abstract, I'm also known for those, but they don't mean as much to me as that particular subject. So I am ready to do more in that direction.
You know, I've seen them in passing through your Facebook and through different stories you post as well too. I've seen different things as well too, so it's very well done. So I can definitely tell you have a very, I guess, a space theme for the most
that's
of it,
right.
Anyway. That's kind of like your interest, or what really attracts you.
Because you see, paint. We all share the same cosmos. Think about this for a minute, okay? I want peace for planet Earth. I want us to realize we're all one, okay? When you look in the sun, or you look at the moon, it doesn't really matter where you're looking from, does it?
No.
Is it a different moon?
No.
No. It's the same,
it
right?
Means something to different people, but yeah, it's not the.
It's still the same.
It's the same physically.
Still the same sun.
Physically there, same space. Not always the same space, but you know what I mean.
The cosmos, the beauty of the cosmos interests me because it's remarkable. Okay, and how I got into painting it, can I save it for my next podcast with Chad?
If you want, or we can talk about it now. It's all up to you.
I want to do another podcast. I want to do another podcast with you that might focus more
see.
On the poetry and the art.
Yeah, no, that's great too. Yeah.
I don't even have a clock. How are we doing for our 1 hour?
You don't have a clock. You mean in your house, or you just don't have a clock in front of you?
I walked over to one right now.
Okay, it's 4. Well, it's probably 1:30 your time, I believe.
Yeah. What time did we start?
How about 30 minutes ago? Ish.
30 minutes ago. We've got time.
Yeah, well, we've got time. We can talk about whatever you want to.
Oh, that's super. Okay, let's still do rock radio.
Yeah, for sure. Because the thing, well, here's the thing about rock radio. Rock radio is, you know, has changed so much after the 80s into the 90s, 2000s. Right. Were you, even if you weren't working professionally in a radio station, did you, were you keeping aware? Were you monitoring what was happening? Did you have friends in the industry?
Of course. I made friends with this, you know, it's hard to say friends in the industry. That's a kind of like a big...
or contacts big, you've maintained, I guess.
That,
yeah.
When I was at KFJC, I connected with something called the Keystone, which was, they had three major clubs, one in Palo Alto, one in Berkeley, one in San Francisco, okay? And I would talk about their events. And one of their events included the Ramones, okay? So, I mean, I got to stand 10 feet from the Ramones when they performed in Palo Alto, Chad, okay?
Oh, wow.
That's major, all right? Like, those kind of things, like, change your life.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I can't, I mean, even though I do, I want my next NASA show so badly, I want to stay involved with rock world, okay? And I want to be open to it. I mean, like, I like what hip-hop's doing. I do.
Oh, wow.
I enjoy it. Hip-hop is modern-day poetry.
Yeah, yeah, the lyrical content and the stories and the personal things that they share. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yep, and that needs to be taken seriously by the poetry community, because that's our younger generation doing poetry their way.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree.
And, Chad, you know, when I do poetry, guess what I'm doing? I'm holding up a piece of paper with my poem on it and wearing glasses, because I don't remember. But the hip-hop people, it's amazing how much content they actually remember.
Yeah, sometimes I don't
know
how
they...
Yeah, especially when they perform their shows. I don't know how they remember without a teleprompter, some kind of lyric sheet, or someone whispering. If you think rock musicians have a hard time remembering their lyrics, I don't know how... the hip hop artists remember their rhymes and their
I'm just totally
and their lyrics, but me too. Yeah, it's very impressive. People need to give that some more credit.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and I'm glad to be able to talk to you about it, because it is what's going on. I mean, I think that part of doing talk radio is to be aware, okay, of what's going on. All right, and it's great to talk about The Who, but I also want to say it's a new world now.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were going on the radio, we could do historic talk, and then we could do current talk.
Yeah, those are both very fascinating subjects, topics,
right?
For sure, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You mentioned, of course, you originally moved to America, to San Francisco, to pursue, you met somebody there, you had a husband. Did you, going through all your radio career and everything you've done since, have you always had family support in everything you've been doing? Has it been a challenge to kind of sell it to people, as far as what you're doing creatively and kind of just convincing people that this is your way and you can make it work?
I don't give them a choice. This is who I am. You know, I don't say, what do you think of that?
Right. Yeah.
So I just sort of carry on doing what I do. You know, what's hard is to get your work out there.
Yeah.
That's what I find frustrating the most. I think you must understand, because what you've done with the podcast is like you've kind of given yourself a venue that you can do. Okay, you can do a podcast that includes people and it makes you feel better. But to really open that major door is a completely different experience.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what that's clearly the goal for the artwork and the poetry as well, too. But at different points, though, and there's different ways to go about that. Do you find there's a lot of oversaturation? Like, definitely with the podcast industry, there's definitely oversaturation. Do you find that in the art world right now?
Say that last sentence, oversensing? Say that.
Do you find it's oversaturated? There's a lot of people trying to get a foothold. There's a lot of people clogging the marketplace. That's hard for you to get a footing.
Well, I'll tell you something. The marketplace that interests me is not so clogged up. But at the same time, yes, to that statement you just made, and there's some really crappy art out there. But what's interesting is the better the person is at PR, the more they get their work out there, and sometimes the better work belongs to the people that have limited PR skills, yep, don't get out there, okay? So that's kind of what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of commercial, boring work by good PR people and not so much interesting work.
Have you always been kind of promoting yourself, or do you have anybody out there championing you or PRing for you, or have you?
Good question. In the old days, and I'm talking about like in the 40s, there used to be something called an artist agent. You ever heard that term?
Yes.
There were people who made a living promoting artists. They do not exist.
Wow. Yeah, that would have, yeah. So as far as artwork, right? Because there's obviously agents that help people and musicians and record labels and A&R people, you know what I mean?
The literary world, there's this huge ripoff going on. I don't even want to speak about it. There's people self-publishing and they think they're published, but they're not. They're self-published. It's a big difference, okay?
Right.
But in the art world, I'm grateful to say that I've sold enough pieces to galleries that a gallery show is not. I've had like four major gallery shows in San Francisco. I've had a bunch in Palo Alto, here, there, and everywhere. A gallery show doesn't interest me right now, so I'm not pursuing gallery shows. I'm not pursuing my artwork on websites. I'll only do it on Facebook, okay? Because I don't think that's the future. I don't. I think the future is museums and high-end artistic venues. It could even be a town hall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually think that that's what really interests me. What interests me is museums and quite honestly, I sound snobby, right?
But no.
That's what interests me.
No, well, no, you have a direction, you have a vision of where you want to take your art and your creativity. Yeah. So there's nothing, people can look at that and make comments and think it's snobby, but you're focused and you know what you want. There's nothing wrong with that. It definitely helps you sort out through the crap and get through to where you need to be.
It's hard. It's very hard because when you have a high-level goal, it does manifest every now and then it takes years to manifest again, okay? Right. So, and to have a gallery show at the local whatever is easier, all right? So I do deal with a lot of heartache, quite honestly, and I'm like, oh my God, when is this going to happen, kind of feeling that a lot of other artists can relate to. It's not easy. It's definitely not easy.
To me, San Francisco is a very vibrant, very open for creativity, a very, a very vibrant place for that kind of thing. Do you find the Bay Area, San Francisco, is open and it's possible? Like, are you in the right place that you need to be to make your to make yourself known?
Have you heard of something called North Beach in San Francisco?
I have not.
North Beach is where the poets lived, okay, but also has really remarkable galleries. So I've done like three major solo shows in North Beach, i.e. San Francisco, all right? And then something happened with my work that got me and my work into the Beat Museum in San Francisco for 3.5 years. Can I tell you a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. When was this? What year?
Okay. The work came home about 6 years ago. So it started like 12 years ago.
Okay.
But it goes like this. Obviously, the hippies were very important in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, there was a very, very famous hippie that was also the leader, father figure of the hippies, but also a brilliant writer. And his name was Ken Kesey. Have you heard of him?
I have not.
Ken Kesey, part of the Merry Pranksters, also a well-known author. Traveled around in a bus. We need to save this for our next podcast.
If you want. I mean, we have time.
I want to.
You're not on a clock. I should mention you're not on a clock, Leah. I know we said an hour, but you can talk as much as you wanted.
No, I want to keep it to an hour so we can do another one.
Okay.
I want to do an hour because I want it to be really, really good.
Okay, oh, it's really good.
Ken Kesey was really famous, all right? And he was also famous as an author. He was part of Stanford. There was a lot of goings on to do with Ken. And in 1999, he came with his bus He lived in Oregon. He came with his bus to where I live, near where I live. And I went down with a camera and took five rolls of film of him, his bus. And you can see that if you go on my website, okay? And I did this photo collage of Ken Kesey, his bus, and Mountain Girl, who was actually married to Jerry Garcia, also married to Ken Kesey.
Oh, wow.
And Ken's son was there and Ken's grandson was there. And it was quite a scene. And I got this photo collage done from it. And my photo collage got accepted by the Beat Museum in San Francisco and was on exhibit there for 3.5 years. Now, the Beat Museum is very famous in San Francisco, but it's actually closing down. They're getting a new one. They're buying a new one. So I'm not there anymore, but I was there. So I got very seriously involved with the North Beach community, and I thought I would fit in. And I remember, Chad, I was saying I'm having fit-in issues. I did live in North Beach, San Francisco for about 2 years, but moved to Santa Cruz, lived there for a year and a half, didn't fit in there either, but did some major art shows, and now I'm back in the Bay Area.
When you say fit in, do you mean socially with your community, with just you didn't agree with what was going on, you didn't feel your art could survive there? What do you mean by fit in?
No, not the last two, more like the weird British part of me that doesn't drink but smokes. I don't know. I don't mean tobacco. I mean, like, what was legal here now. That didn't really fit into North Beach, and there was a different scene going on there. I thought I would, but I didn't.
It seems to me, I know you've been in America for several years now, it seems like, I am no expert, and it just sounds like, just listening to your voice, your accent has definitely, it's changed a bit. Obviously, it's not a full British accent at this point.
Right.
Have you noticed that you become kind of, I don't want to say you become, but there's more of an Americanization kind of thing?
I do, but I also know that if I did go back to England, probably 2 months later, I'd sound totally
It would just pop right back up, yeah.
Right. So I'm not worried about it. I kind of enjoy it. I like a little bit of eclecticism.
Yeah, well, you have that little, I guess, hint of it. That's not, well, it's a little more pronounced than that. But you can tell there's British, but it's not completely. It's not like, I don't know, it's not, well, that's terrible, I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? It's not that full on if you were there. So can I ask you then, before you do leave me for this podcast, growing up in Israel, you spent 6 years there. Do you have any major memories of being there, coming over? Have you ever gone back since then that you can talk about?
My brother and sister lived there. My mom and dad, remember I told you my dad built factories
yes.
for England? He went back to Israel and he built a factory there for himself. And my brother and sister went back with him. So I have a lot of family there.
I
don't fit in. I did try going back. I don't fit in, but I did do some art exhibits there. And I do want to say that the one kid I have on planet Earth, I have one son, I think you've got four, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. Quite a collection.
Are we allowed to say that in the podcast?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say that in the podcast?
Yes.
Oh, we are. Oh,
yeah.
Good. So I have one son, his name's Daniel, and he's named after Elton John's brother.
Oh. Which is where the song comes from then, if I'm correct.
Right.
Right.
Comes from England.
Yep. Makes sense.
But I did meet Daniel's dad in Israel. He was a scientist from America at the Weizmann Institute, and that's where I met Daniel's dad. And we did get married, and that's how I ended up coming to America.
He was in America. He was already living in San Francisco, or he
was an American in Israel. I was trying out Israel at the time.
Okay,
and I met him in Israel as Marty Rame, and we got married. We came back to. We got married at MIT. We came back to America in '79. His time was up at the Weizmann Institute, and we came here. And that's basically how I got into America, as you know, married to an American.
Right.
Card, now I'm
the citizenship, yeah. Like, and of course, you had the British citizenship, and then
And '81, I became an American citizen, but dual citizen.
Right.
Meaning, I got to keep my British citizenship.
Is there
Is there
a citizenship for Israel too? Do you have like a third? Is there?
No,
can you
I
come
don't.
And go?
No,
okay.
I was born there.
Yeah.
I was born there, but the only two citizenships that I have is I did live longer in America, America and in England,
yes.
both places than in Israel. But I just want to say, since you brought up the subject, I think things are getting better in the Middle East, Chad.
Oh, that's good to hear. I honestly, if I'm being honest, I wouldn't know, but you might have a better a different perspective.
I'd hope for peace for everybody there, and I think we're on our way. I really do, and in many ways, I mean, this illness told everybody, you know, we all get sick the same way, and when you look up at the moon, fallible. Same moon,
yeah,
same
we're all sun, human. Right? Yeah.
And, you know, one day what's going to happen in the Middle East is it's going to be a tourist attraction, and they're going to figure it out that their money is going to come from tourists and want everybody to be at peace with each other. You know, that's what I believe.
It's a very beautiful place. I mean, it has a lot of rich history. There's a lot to take in. Of course, never been. But I've seen your posts. I've seen your pictures, your painting, your words of that. Do you speak Hebrew? Do you have that language?
I do. I do speak Hebrew, okay? But I don't speak it as fluently as a regular Israeli, okay? Right. Let's be honest. And I didn't go to school there, so I don't have that kind of... I can write very basic words, but I can't write more than like one small sentence, okay?
Right.
So that's not very much. So I'm definitely not a regular, you know, I wouldn't fit in on a regular basis. But I did do a couple of art exhibits there, and I did get a little bit involved with the Weizmann Institute, and they did actually open up the doors for me with the Cosmos painting. So that's where it all started, believe
it or
not.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. That's good.
But it's kind of weird because I actually don't know what's going to happen next.
Nobody does.
I don't.
Yeah.
That's true.
We can all guess.
That's
we can make educated guess. But, I mean, things change. I mean, even just if we're just talking about the pandemic alone, everyone.
Right.
The only thing that everyone knows is that nobody knows. And it's just people making educated guesses at this point.
Hey, Chad, I've got good news.
Oh, good.
We are going to be able to put our masks away starting next week in California.
Oh, wow. That's been one of the heavily, especially Los Angeles, that's been one of the governor has really kept, the governor there has really kept a big lockdown on that. On the county and everything. So that's great. That's amazing to hear. Good for your state.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
So, we are not there yet. But it's a whole different.
Yeah. What they're saying is that everybody has to do that double vaccine, which I think most people have. Okay. And what they're also saying, and I'm using. Chad, you there?
I'm here. Did I lose you? I got you.
Now that someone's trying to beep, but it doesn't really matter.
You'll be there in a second.
Doesn't matter. I'm saying that they're treating this new variant more like a flu.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
And people are getting better quicker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
As long as they're back.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
From what
and so
everyone does what's best for them. That's all I can say on that.
We are hoping that it leaves the planet, right, Chad?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
That's what we want. We wanted to leave planet Earth. It's
No matter what side of the fence you land on, all that matters is that people, one thing they can agree upon, whether we're Republican or Democrat, this just needs to leave the planet and we can all get back to normal life.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do believe, Chad, I really do believe that we are on that path.
Good.
I really do, because I think the new variant is showing us that even though people are getting sick from it, they're sick briefly.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so, and I also think that putting out good vibes, because there's been a lot of bad vibes about it. You know that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding? You know, a lot of like desperate, horrible, bad vibes about it. So if we start saying, get out, stupid idiot, illness, leave, you know, and start kicking it out the door. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you think if you wish it, it'll come true. If you wish it, you'll want it kind of thing. However that saying goes, I'm kind of off. You know what I mean? Yeah. Wish for it, want it kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, if you think positive, good things come to you, that kind of thing.
Right.
It makes perfect sense. If you don't believe in anything else, you can definitely believe in that.
And if you look at the history of planet Earth, we have gotten rid of things like the Black Plague and other major illnesses.
Measles, smallpox, the Spanish flu, all these things you read about from the 1920s, 10s, that killed everybody that was under 20.
Right, and they do eventually leave.
Yep, and this will be no different, yep. This will be no different. Speaking go back to the entertainment thing. We touched on this, of course, at the start of how easy it is for the better part and the worst part is that with the internet and especially with today, look at me with my little old podcast. You with your downtime, with your availability with the internet, it's a wonder you don't have even some kind of small presence as far as radio out there. Why you don't do a show? Why you don't just start fresh and say, this is a Leah Angel show or something?
You know why, Chad?
If this is the first time you've heard that.
It's a techie issue. It doesn't really interest me because I want to walk into a building.
A studio.
Sit in front of a desk with all kinds of knobs on instruments. You know, I actually get provided an engineer when I do radio.
That's good.
Because I'm good enough for them to get that I need an engineer, yeah. And they give me one, all right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be able to do part, you know, I'm not going to do techie stuff. But I actually would like to open that door, Chad, with you, okay, that we want to go back to radio because radio actually needs us.
Yeah.
And when I say radio, I'm talking live radio at a radio station that's strong enough to have us.
Yeah. Do you have, we mentioned this before about keeping in contact with the kind of scene that's going on in San Francisco now. Is there a lot of radio stations? There's a lot of rock radio left there that's not online?
Good question. There's some, not a lot. There's some, and they've been on the air for a long time, and they're solid. But none of them are creating new shows.
No, because I know in L.A., that's an L.A. Station, but it's KNAC. That's gone online. It used to be a big thing in the 80s, but now that's online. That was one of the biggest ones, too. So there's not a lot of physical stations, I think, that are playing rock music out well, anywhere, but there, I think. Is that fair to say?
There's a station called 103.7 that does music from the 80s that I enjoy. There is two or three that do pure rock, and they have live DJs, which is a lot of fun.
Live DJs that are actually within the same city or can from somewhere else? That's shocking.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
But what we want, and I'm talking about you and me, okay, is we want the respect of being allowed in, even though you don't have to have us for your license, okay?
Yeah.
With the knowledge that if we did get a high-level talk show, okay, we can do good.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What about you and I doing more podcasts? And so now promote this one, Chad. I'll promote it. You promote it.
That's the goal.
You'll do a little thingy. Tell people when and how they can listen to it, okay? And then we'll do another one, okay? Like 2-3 weeks from now. How do you feel about that?
That could work. We'll stay in touch. Hey, what you should do is you should come on an episode of Paravice City, which is the music 80s show, and that's where you can come on. You could pick some songs. It's not live, but we could talk about it. And you pick some songs, and you jump in there with me, my buddy Kevin, and that would be a cool little thing too. That's a whole different thing.
That would be amazing.
It's music in there too. You got to pick a song, and it can't be overplayed.
I'll come in with some requests. And some stories.
I've always, one day I do want to have that show where it's maybe at least one episode where it's live and people can call in. I'm not there yet, but that's a goal.
Do you like the Spice Girls?
I do, but that's not going to fit. That's not going to fit.
No. Okay, what's going to fit?
Well, it's an 80s, it's hair metal, like a Sunset Strip type of thing. So it's that type of style.
Okay. What about some 80s number one hits?
It depends on...
Not your cup of tea.
Well, no, it's my cup of tea, but I'll leave it up to you to pick some songs. I want to see where your head's at. I won't give you any more influence on that. I'm not going to sway your choices. Just pick what's in your heart and in your head. Bring it to me, and I'll tell you if it's good or if I need to yank it. We'll put it that way.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. One more question before I do let you go, because we're almost at the hour.
Absolutely.
growing up and being everywhere you've been, you've had a very illustrious career. You've done a lot. There's a lot of memories to have, a lot going on in your life that you can talk about, and there's more to come. But what do you think stands out to you? What would be your earliest childhood memory that you still carry with you today, good or bad, or something that affects you?
Well, can I talk about something that's happening currently that hasn't got so much to do with me but to do with my son? Is that possible?
Yeah, for sure. Any way you want to frame it. Yeah.
Okay. So Daniel, born in Israel, moves to America at the age of 5, okay? But he also becomes a filmmaker, okay? Mm-hmm. Down the road, he goes to this very famous film institute called the American Film Institute.
Yes.
And he makes a movie at the age of 21 that he gets nominated for an Oscar for, okay? It's called The Man on Lincoln's Nose. It's about Hitchcock's art director, who was also Daniel's teacher, all right? So now he's made 4 movies, and he's currently made a new movie, okay, from a very famous musical movie, okay? Have you heard of Fiddler on the Roof?
Yes,
Chad?
Yes.
You have. And you know there hasn't been another film like that for a long time. So Daniel just currently, like in the last 6 months, has made a new movie. It's called Fiddler's Journey to the Big Screen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's going major worldwide, right? It's going to be worldwide, and it's going to be about Jeff Goldblum, famous actor, is the narrator, and it's Daniel Rames, the director, and it's going to be very exciting because there is one industry in America that is the most powerful of all the industries, and it's more powerful than radio, more powerful than TV, more powerful than ballet and theater, and you know what it is?
And it's more fun, too. It'd be the movie industry.
Right.
Yeah.
For some reason, they are
except for radio,
extremely
but yes.
powerful.
Yeah.
Extremely powerful. When they do something, it's like
people notice.
Unbelievable.
Does he have a major studio or a production company behind him on these?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And it's Daniel Raim, R-A-I-M. Look him up, and then you'll find out more about Fiddler's Journey to the Big Screen. Yeah, it's going worldwide. It's going to hit the theaters in late April, but it's also hitting a lot of film festivals on the way there. And what it's going to do is it's going to open up, using music, you know, it might not be our music, but it doesn't really matter. It's going to open up people's hearts, all right?
Right.
And make people feel better, which is what we need.
That's what it's there for, and that's all that matters. And you did a good job, obviously, raising him, and he's a successful young man. So good, kudos to you. And that's a good memory. That's a good way to share that too.
And I did get to go to the Oscars in 2001.
Oh wow, nice.
Yes, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. Was that was in San Fran?
Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles.
Oh, in Los Angeles. Okay, perfect. Wow.
Unbelievable.
It's one place. It's a dream of mine to get to California in general, but LA specifically. I don't know if I'd want to live there anymore, but I definitely want to visit it.
Chad, you could probably probably find a place you could find yourself at home in.
Yeah.
There's all different kinds of scenes going on there. It's not just one scene. It's not.
I know.
Okay. So be eclectically thinking if you do come to LA. That you could probably find yourself there.
I almost had a chance. I was so close. I was scheduled for NAMM in 2020 in Anaheim.
What does that mean? What does NAMM mean?
I forget all the words for it. It's the musical trade show, the big one. It's the biggest trade show that they have out in California. It's usually twice a year, NAMM.
And how are you going to be included? What format?
I was going to be there the podcaster. I was going to be part of someone's booth.
Wow.
And I was going to be basically doing live podcasts at their booth.
Wow.
I knew someone, I'll just say that, who was selling musical equipment and musical and was a management company, and they had a booth there that they paid for, and they invited me to come down, me and the unpaid promoter, and we were going to be there and produce the Nobody's or Somebody's podcast, and that ended up falling through. That's a story for never, but that was my one taste. It almost happened. Of course, it didn't, but that's the goal, still to get out there. We'll say that at some point. Yeah,
I totally think you should, and maybe. Once you get known for this podcast that we're doing together and other ones that we'll do and other ones that you do, there might be places for you to reach out to in LA. Would you consider living there? Would you?
I would I'd probably think about my kids as they got a little bit older. I might consider that. But I'm open to anything at this point because I don't want to close the door at this point. I'd love to review all offers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's very artistic of you not to want to close the door.
Definitely
that
not.
That doesn't mean you do it, but it means that you're open.
I'd weigh the option. I'd see what was presented to me and see if it made sense on a personal and business level. Yep.
Yeah. I like that.
I like that too. I like talking to you, and I'm glad we finally got a chance to do that. And
fantastic.
Hopefully this does you justice. I hope I had a chance to, you know, get some of your story out there, and more to come.
I think you got a lot of the story out there, Chad. I just thought you did a very good job.
I feel like we're only scratching the surface. There's more to get into if I dug a little deeper,
I'd like to do more pure podcasts like this with you, but I want to promote them like crazy. I think, and I really need your help to do that too.
I need your help.
And I think that... What's going to happen is that people are going to enjoy them.
I hope so. That's the goal. And hopefully people who don't know you will get to know you and find out more about you.
Right.
And check out LeahLubin.com. And I'll put the link up for that as well, too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Are you on Twitter, Instagram as well, too?
Nope.
Okay. So I'll make sure to tag you. No, no, it's okay. I just want to know where people can find you. Well, you should be, but I want people to find you.
You can definitely reach me Messenger on Facebook. You can definitely reach me through Messenger on Facebook.
Yeah, for sure. I have your number. I have all your contacts. I'll find you. No problem. Right. And you have mine, so we'll be in touch.
I do. Wonderful experience, and I do see a light down this road for us. I just do.
Oh, thank you so much.
A radio light. It has musical vibes to it.
Yes, it does. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chad. Take care, my dear.
You
too.
You've been listening to the Nobodies Are Somebodies podcast with me, Chad Weiss. And this podcast has been voted the number one podcast by people that don't vote.